Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
We'd like to take this opportunity once again, as we do each and every Thursday morning about 9 o'clock, to welcome you in here to the Clay County Corner. We're sitting right in the middle of the square, and I keep saying this is a corner room, but they tell me it's not, that there's a hallway down here at the end that's in the corner. But since it's a Clay County Corner, this has to be the corner room. And 9 o'clock every Thursday morning, we're here on WVFB-FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And let's see, we've got a bunch of things to do today. We've got to give away a birthday cake here toward the end of the show from out at the folks at Salina Dairy Queen. And to remember for everyone, if you want your name on that list, you got to call our answering machine here, which is 243-5574, and leave a name and a number and speak slowly and clearly. Excuse me while I clear my throat there for a second. I don't know what I'm doing with a cold this kind of weather. I mean, it's been kind of warm down here in Clay County for the last day or two. He's sitting out watching the grass grow, you sweat, and that's pretty hot when it does that. But we're thankful to be here this morning. We're glad to have all of our sponsors that make this possible, and we do come to you each and every Thursday morning, as we said. And of course, we're live and in living color on your radio dial, which is real, real hard to do these days. But we're still managing to do it. And I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a little short break, and we're in a commercial, and we'll come back. We've got some guests here, and we might talk about a couple things that happened this day in history. And then we'll talk to our guests. They're going to talk about some very interesting stuff here this morning. So we'll be back just in a minute.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
and we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I've got my old computer screen up here, and I pulled up a couple of things of the news for of the day, and a couple of interesting things here. If you're a history buff, on this day in 1787, the Northwest Ordinance adopted it, which established government, over in the Northwest Territories, which added a whole bunch to the United States, the eastern half of the country. And let's see, on a lighter note, 1939, Frank Sinatra made his, old Blue Eyes, made his first commercial recording, From the Bottom of My Heart and Melancholy Mood, with Harry James and his orchestra for the Brunswick label. And on a lower note, in 1955, in Great Britain, the last woman to be hanged was executed. Ruth Ellis, a 28-year-old former model who killed her boyfriend. She was the last person in the United Kingdom to be executed, the last woman to be executed. Let's see, in 1960, John F. Kennedy won the Democratic presidential nomination on the first ballot at his party's convention in Los Angeles. 1965, some of us can still remember this, Lyndon Johnson nominated Thurgood Marshall to become the first black jurist appointed to a federal post in the Supreme Court. And 2 years later, to the federal court, and then 2 years later, he was nominated for the Supreme Court. And let's see, looking on down, Live Aid in 1985, I remember that one. Let's see. The George Zimmerman trial started on this date in 2013. So that's just a couple of things that happened. And if you sit up and watch the All-Star game the other night, the American League won again, so they get home court advantage in the World Series this year. So with all that, this morning I have three guests here with me, Brother Eric Copas and his daughter Rachel, and Marley is here with us this morning. Sometimes I forget first names, but these young ladies I've talked to a couple of times before, and ran into them the other night up at Gatlinburg, and seemed like Eric and I, if we ever run into each other, somewhere where we're eating. But the girls came in first, and we got talking, and they had just gotten back from a missionary trip to Guatemala. And I thought, I don't think I've seen anything in the local papers or anything about it, or they all kind of kept it quiet. But Eric, I guess to begin with, tell us a little bit about these trips, and I think the First Baptist Church here in Salina have been doing that for a while.
Well, actually, this was our first trip as a church. We had one young lady from Monroe, Kentucky. She comes to church here. She'd been before.
Okay.
But there's a group in Monroe County. They've been going for about 10 years, and they kind of got started from a group in Bowling Green. And one of the things, they got started in doing this mission trip. They didn't really know or what to expect they were going to do. They felt called by God to go down there and do some type of mission. And, God showed them when they got down there, there was a lot of orphanages and a lot of schools, just a whole different culture there, where they're not government funded, like our schools, and there's no kind of welfare or nothing like that. So there is a great need for the schools, and a lot of schools have handicapped kids, and they have no funding whatsoever. And they found that need, and so for the last 10 years, they've been going down there and supplying those needs. And I was invited actually a couple of years ago when I was a youth pastor in Fountain Run, Kentucky, and just, a lot of things going. I had a farm going and job and the church, and but I didn't get the opportunity to go. And this year, the group come to our church. We've known these people from Rome County a long time. Just good people, and they come to church and brought the missionary Felix. He's from Guatemala. He's kind of one of those success stories. He come here legally, actually, in the United States, applied for citizenship, received it, started his own landscaping company in Texas, and just kind of a rags to riches story. Doing really well with his own company. So he facilitates the logistics of it. and he's from Guatemala, Uspatan, a village, and he invites groups to come and help out. And so, but they come to our church, and next thing you know, we had 15 people desiring to go. And
okay, let's talk a little bit, you said, about Guatemala, that they are apparently not a government welfare-type state as much as we are up here, and I know the weather down there this time of the year. What time of year is it?
For them, it's wintertime.
So they're below the equator.
They're below the equator, yeah. It's wintertime, which we loved it because it was mid-70s and low 50s at night. We were wearing T-shirts, and, of course, the culture there is, you know, men and women don't wear shorts that much, especially in the villages. They still wear dresses. Their colors of their village represented. Men wear pants, so we wore the pants, and the girls did too. But we found it quite comfortable. But they had jackets on, and the kids were wrapped up like we would our kids in the wintertime. So
okay, well, what about the atmosphere there out in the country?
The culture is just one of those things. Like when you have all these envisions of what it was going to be, and you know, you try to prepare yourself. But when we got there, we were surprised. You know, the best way to describe it, they're probably 50 to 60 years behind us in the way they do things. They still gather firewood in the villages for their food and their meals and keep warm with. A lot of agriculture. Of course, it's a mountainous range. It's not tropical. It's not a jungle. They have the same kind of trees and pines and cedars that we do, just a lot more mountainous. They plant corn wherever they can. It was up the sides of mountains in their yards. Back alleys, if it was a spot of dirt, they grew corn. That's one of their main staples. And very few cattle. You could see through them. You know, as we say here, you could see through them. But a few sheep, a lot of chickens. And, you know, the culture there is just it's just amazing. But, you know, it would be like going back in time here, I would think.
So a real slow pace.
Yes.
What about transportation?
The transportation, they have vehicles. They have a main staple for them is they have like a taxi type service. It's look like a three wheeled golf cart, so to speak. It's covered. You see a lot of those, and you know their road system, simply put, is horrible. They have a lot of landslides. You know, the infrastructure is just not good there. They don't have any kind of police patrolling for speed. So what they do to control people's speed up down these mountains is they put speed bumps every quarter mile. So it's a very rough ride, and we rode about 7 hours to get to a village, and it's just constant curves. There's not a straight road in Guatemala.
So. How long was the flight down there?
We flew to Atlanta out of Lexington. We got a cheaper price out of Lexington, and of course we went with the Kentucky group, so that was kind of their choice. And from Atlanta to Guatemala, it's about a three-hour flight.
Well, that's really not a long flight.
No, it's not bad at all. They're about an hour behind us. So.
And so they're probably in the next time zone over?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And yeah, I know from talking to the girls, they were talking about, you know, the main staple in the food was corn, and not much meat cooked.
Not a lot. No, very, very sparingly. Yeah.
Okay. Girls, I think, young ladies, either one of you, that I know you have all kinds of stories of when you arrived there, you know, what were your feelings? And you'll need to move over close to the microphone or move it close to whichever one wants to speak first. And give me your first impressions when you arrived there in Guatemala.
It looked pretty bad. Yeah.
In what way now are you talking about? Compared to what you're used to, I realize, yes.
Yeah.
But
here it's more like we're millionaires compared to them. And it's very bad down there.
Okay, and I know you've heard your dad say, as we all have, that, you know, how we are one of the most blessed nations in the world. And it kind of smacks you in the face then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you see that. Okay, what one thing really impressed you there above all other things?
The people there, they go to church 5 nights a week.
That, okay, and I know probably there are various groups from the United States other than like your church, I know there are others, because I know if you look on social media, you'll see mothers that are saying goodbye to daughters and sons that are actually going to Guatemala. Been quite a few of those this spring. I think we've even had maybe a couple of more folks that maybe that went down with groups from here in Clay County down to Guatemala. And so 5 nights a week. Okay, now, Eric, is Guatemala one of the predominantly one of the Catholic nations down there to begin with, or...
It is. You know, it's amazing. I had the opportunity. We went to a village outside of Uspatan, and we preached and sung and handed out care packages right in front of the Catholic Church, and actually in their parking lot, so to speak. Not really a parking lot, just like a paved section. And the Catholic Church, they go all out. They build some big churches in the middle of nowhere. And but they were very accepting of us. They didn't frown or keep us away. So yeah, it's very in a Church of God type atmosphere. That was the closest I would call their denomination.
Okay, Marty, I know. I guess I don't know whether you knew I was going to ask you about this or not, but. I think you developed a special friend down there that would you like to talk about that a little bit for us?
Yeah, her name was Natalie, and she was at the orphanage, and she couldn't walk. She was paralyzed from the waist down. And, like, the kids, they come to you. You don't really go to them. They, like, pick you out and want you as their person to, like, play with and stuff. And Natalie, you know, picked me, and I don't know, she just wanted to... Like, she didn't want nobody. She didn't want me to leave her. Like, when I had to go work and, like, paint bassinets, I had to leave her, and she didn't want me to leave. And I come back, and, you know, she found me again, and we played some more.
Okay, and I know I talked to your dad about this a little bit, and he said, you know, that Guatemala does not allow for any foreign nations to adopt even children, and I think... and you know that chances are that when she becomes there's an age down there that
yeah.
You're no longer considered a ward of the state and an orphan, and you're basically put out on your own. You want to talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah, well, I asked Cheryl, the owner of the orphanage, like how you could adopt, and she said you can't because, you know, it's illegal for Americans. But the age to, like, get out of that orphanage is 12, and then you go to another place for kids, and then when you're 18 there, you're out on your own. You can't go any to the orphanage.
Well, what about education for the orphans? Do they have a school there, I'm sure, and was she being trained in something for already for a vocation, or was it early yet for that for them?
Like, she was teaching them. I mean,
yeah, they were younger. This orphanage she's
yeah.
talking about, they were younger, like babies and
yeah.
toddler type kids. And as far as educating, they have what they have called their schools, where their parents make more money, and then their schools right next door they call the poor schools. And the funny thing is, you know, that. To be a teacher there, you have to have a college education. To work at McDonald's, you have to have a college education in the city, which was, you know, unique. But, yeah, after a certain age, and some of the kids, when they got to third or fourth grade, they had to start working. They had to come out of school. So what education they got was at third or fourth grade level.
Okay, hold that thought yeah. just a second. Let's take a little short yeah. break and work in a commercial here. And I know, thanks, girl. I like that. That's a great job, and we'll be back just in a minute. We're going to let you talk some more. We're not done with you yet. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. you're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes.
Oh my, I read that wrong.
They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're here at the historic Clay County Courthouse. And, of course, reminding everyone that we are coming to you on Salina's own radio station, WVFB FM 101.5, Kings Country. And, like I said earlier, we're broadcasting from right here in the middle 100 Courthouse Square in Salina, and I have Eric Copas, Marley Copas, and let's see, Rachel's last name.
Marley Ashlock.
I mean, and Marley's last name is Mark Ashlock's daughter. So she's an Ashlock. But girls, let me. After a typical night there where you spent the night in an air-conditioned Holiday Inn, right?
No.
What was the day like? Well, all right, tell us about your accommodations there and a typical day down there. Both of you move over close to the microphone and share a few words. Go ahead, Rachel.
We stayed in, like, a apartment type in the city, and, like, we slept in bunk beds with, like, a bunch of people. So it was like 15 people in one room, and it was hard. It was really hard.
What about the air conditioning?
Well, it was, the air conditioner was normal, like at regular temperature.
But there's 15 people there. What about
the
shower facilities?
We didn't take very many showers.
Now, I'm going to chime in because they're not going to tell you, but when we were in Usbaton, there was no hot water. And their water, if you catch it, it's yellow. And there was a couple nights, our room, we didn't have water. So, you know, water is a luxury. And they catch it, kind of like in New York, they catch it in basins and huge containers. And they save it because, you know, it's a rare economy down there for them.
So I'd say that's like the old-fashioned hillbilly bath night then.
Absolutely.
Once a week with a big wash tub.
Exactly.
But, okay, girl, a typical day for you all. What did you do on a typical day?
Well, we usually worked, like, at the schools, and we gave out care packages that had soap and, like, little papers that had scripture and stuff in it.
Did you do any manual labor while you were there? Did you paint anything like that?
Yeah.
What did you paint then? Tell us about it.
Baskets, and we painted walls, and we fixed gutters, like, because their gutters were messed up. And
so you actually got hammers and nails out and did work?
Yes.
How was that?
It was good. I felt good.
And what about your interaction? Did you have any interaction with people your own age from down there very much of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us what that was like. Was there a language barrier there?
The kids knew how to talk some English, so, like, we talked to the kids a lot. But, like, the older people, we had, like, a translator, so, like, we could talk to them.
To translate the Spanish for you. But the younger folks were fairly fluent in English enough to to converse.
Yeah.
Well, what did you learn during a conversation?
They don't speak like correct grammar. They've not been taught a lot.
Okay. Did any of them really open up and talk about their personal lives any, or did they mainly just kind of...
The older ones. The younger ones just didn't understand, yeah.
Okay, and what type of, how did you feel about the folks you met down there? Especially maybe after you got home and thought back, you know.
I thought to myself that we have too much and felt really bad for them because it's just different down there. We have so much compared to them.
And Marley, what about you? Other than the friend that you had, the little girl that was paralyzed, did you find anything else in her special that jumped out at you that really thought, you know, hey, this is neat?
Yeah, there was a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old, Hannah and Jose. Cheryl had adopted them for, like, her, so she'd keep them. And they were artists. Like, they were really good at drawing and stuff, and they gave us drawings to take home with us. And
okay, let me ask you about that. You know, I know when we see a lot of film and stuff, news film from Latin American countries, we see the open-air markets. What about open-air markets? Did you visit any of those?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about going to, did you buy anything there?
Yeah, like, I bought bracelets, and, like, you would try to, like, bring the price down. You would fuss with them and try to...
You have to bargain, don't you?
Yeah. And, I mean, she gave it. She let us buy it cheaper.
Well, I mean, at a market, you know, that's the bargain. The bargain of the deal. You got to deal with folks because they're, and especially if they know you are a tourist or if you're a foreigner, they're going to start high and you got to, and they hope that they'll accept the first thing you say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, girls, what about, like you said, when you got back home, did you feel a little older, a little more mature maybe, and have a different outlook? And like those four walls of school look pretty good, don't they now?
Yes.
And the opportunities that we have in this country, could you actually tell the limitations that maybe some of the kids felt down there that they already know they were feeling? Well, what I'm saying is, did you feel an air of hopelessness, or was there hope in the country? From looking at it from your perspective as teenagers.
Both.
So you saw some folks that were airy, light, looking forward to every day, and some that weren't.
Yes.
Did anyone in particular stand out that, as you know, looking at a bright future that you can remember?
Yeah, the guy that took us down there, the translator, Felix, his brother, Hector, we went to his church, and they're growing, and they have like 150 people that usually come to their church, and they're asking us to like help them and build on to their church, and it's really good for them.
Okay. In closing up, what would you like to add to what the girls have said and in your experiences there from your first trip?
Yeah, like I said, the expectations you have, you know, when you get there, they totally change. And, you know, you're expecting to see these just poor people. But, you know, perspective is a lot. You know, they're doing what the best they can, what they have. And I think their outlook was pretty happy, I think. And
that's what I was looking
for.
Yeah,
and their way of life, you know, very simple, you know. And that, the girls talked about they went to church five nights a week. And, you know, I asked a question when we come back to church, would we be willing to do that? But their church is kind of like, I think, 50, 60 years ago here, it was the center of their community. And it's where they all come together, they come to fellowship, they worship together. You know, as far as hope, I think, like she talked about, their church was growing and you know, following God and seeing the things that they're doing. Our outlook going down there that we were going to go and we were going to help all these people. But I think if you ask anybody from our church, they come back being witnessed to. And they come back with a different outlook of not taking things for granted and a new outlook.
Brought back a different outlook and different attitude.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Did you receive very many, of course I'm sure they have missionaries coming all the time, did you receive very many questions about life here, or do you think they that they realize already, you know, that it's a different culture that we're coming from.
They do. And it was funny because even when we went to some remote places, I saw people with iPhones. So they have access to the outside world. And even in these far remote places, you know, they have televisions for the ones that make more money. And so they see, you know, where we come from and who we are. But I think in a large part they're satisfied with how they live, their aspirations, you know, and hopes.
That's something. And and with the way the world economy is now, we realize, you know, once you see something, then you do aspire to that.
Right, right.
And if you've never seen it, of course, you don't know what to aspire to.
Exactly. And you know, there was a difference when we landed in Guatemala City, which is their, I think, the biggest city and only city, major city they have. They had a Walmart, they had McDonald's, Taco Bell, you know, and it looked like city life.
Yeah.
When you went out into the country, Usbatan, you know, I would compare it to kind of like Salina in a lot of ways. You know, their culture, I think they were satisfied and happy with the culture they had.
And you know, with a lot, any of our folks usually that even vacation visit Latin America that way, they're usually only used to the resort life and the life around the resort, and it's a culture shock. I know it was a culture shock for these young ladies when, like daylight to dark, when they went from Guatemala City out in the countryside.
Absolutely.
And of course, a lot of folks come back thinking, you know, hey, that's, you know, life's pretty easy down there, but
it's very physical still.
Once it's different once you get outside the city limits.
Absolutely.
Folks, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning with us, and I'm sure you're probably looking forward to another missionary trip somewhere or another here pretty quick. And
absolutely.
And you're to be congratulated on your work there. And, of course, girls, I'm looking forward to basketball season, too. But with that, thanks for coming by, and we'll take a little short break, and we'll come back and read our birthday list. And I've got some other guests. I think I've seen some strangers wandering around out in the hallway, didn't I?
Yep. Thank you guys for having
me. Hey, thank you all for coming by, girls. Thank you all.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. We've changed our guest seats. We got rid of the first bunch. I take that back. Not got rid of. They had to move on. I'd like to thank them for coming in. The two young ladies that came in, they were both upcoming freshmen, and I think that's about the first time they've been stuck in front of a microphone, and they did a great job. And when you catch them out away from a microphone, you can't get them to be quiet. but we're grateful they came in, glad they came in this morning, and let everyone know about this trip. And right now, I've got a couple more folks here, but before we get to them, I've got to read off my list of birthdays and anniversaries for today. And it looks like we've got about seven names on the list. And remind everyone that the number to call is 243-5574. And speak slowly and clearly. And it's usually a pretty good idea to mention the name twice, so at least I can have two chances to mess up. So if you'll do that. But beginning with, we have Mike Gold called in to wish Susan Scovel a happy birthday. So happy birthday out to her. And then also on the 15th, Faith White is celebrating a birthday. And her grandparents called in to wish her a happy birthday. And friends and family for Shelby Short called in. I think actually there were three calls on her. So big family there. And then let's see, Kenneth Walker's twin sister called in to wish him a happy birthday, but he didn't call in to wish her a happy birthday. But we'll take this opportunity to wish her a happy birthday also. And Steve and Heather Roden are celebrating their fourth anniversary on the 13th. And Eloise Langford celebrated a birthday this past week from her nieces and nephews. And then Kathy Roden celebrated a birthday on the 13th. So we've got seven names in here, and toward the end of the program, we'll get someone to fire up our non-computerized selection system, and we'll draw out a name, and they'll win one of those delicious ice cream cakes from out at the Salina DQ. I've got two more guests in here now. We'll let them introduce themselves. And
thanks for having us, Thomas. I'm Alan Hayes.
Okay, Alan, and you brought with you, or did she bring you?
She sort of drug me along.
Okay, and your name is now what?
Libby Morris.
And they're involved in a couple of things. We're going to let one of them talk a little bit about the marble tournament up in New Jersey, and then also what we're going to start with is our little, I guess, was this a coach's pitch or...
It was T-ball, but yes, we done coaches pitch in the state tournament.
Okay, but it was T-ball to begin with. So
yep.
Through the regular season, you guys had played T-ball.
Yep, we sure did.
Okay, and you selected a team made up of all-stars from the Clay County League. How many teams did we have in the league this year in their age group?
Five.
That's a pretty good crowd, isn't it?
60-plus kids.
That's a great number.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
And they were mostly within what age range?
5 and 6 year olds.
That's a bunch of little athletes, and boys and girls together, I believe.
Boys and girls together, yeah.
And I think they do that up until, I guess most of the teams actually split with coaches' pitch, don't they? And I think somewhere along the line, the girls go to fast-pitch softball.
7 years old, they go
seven years old,
softball, they go to, and the boys go on to baseball.
Yeah. And you guys, like I said, you had an all-star team from here in Salina.
Yep.
I guess right off the top of your head, you know the names of all the players, don't you?
Yep.
Evan Hayes, Landon Kirk, Riley Baxter, Ty Walden, Tyler Adams, Parker Upchurch, Eli Davis, Easton Garner, Mackenzie Daniels, Bentley Johnson. And Jackson White.
Okay, and the first thing, you went to a tournament over in Allgood, I believe.
Yeah, we sure did.
I think back a few years ago, I've been to a few games over there. That's a tough place to get out of, isn't it?
A really tough place. Very nice fields, great competition. we was really proud to be able to go over there and take a team. Sure was.
And if you want to explain the rules just a little bit of the coach's pitch or the tee ball for that age, I think there are a lot of limitations, aren't there, about what you can do and can't do?
There is, Thomas. First off, you know, over in August we hit off tee, just like we did down here in Clay County. And you get five swings, whether they go foul, stay in the field, you get five swings. We hung in there. Last year we got to go over there and played, didn't do as well as we did this year, of course, but we had, you know, probably about 3 weeks to a month to be able to work with these all-stars, and this year they was ready to go. And we got over there, and, well, we played all good one first, and we beat them by one run. Really tough team they had, and then we played Overton County 2, and what was the score of that, baby? You remember?
No. We beat them by 6 or 7.
Clay County more than the opposition. That was the final score, right?
Yeah.
And then that was on a Tuesday, and that sort of put us in the position on the bracket, the game's Tuesday. So then we went back Friday and play all good one again on Friday.
It was Monterey
on the Friday, and was able to win that game, and which that put us in the championship game on Saturday.
No, Sunday, Friday night
we played the championship game on Friday night.
Against All Good One again.
Okay, so it was a kind of was it a true double elimination, or?
Once the pool play got over with Tuesday.
Okay, it was pool play.
Yeah.
Okay.
That position just in the bracket,
yeah.
And then once you lose in the bracket, you was out.
Okay, now what about the batting round? Did the entire team bat each round, or?
Well, the 12. Way, yeah, 12. We had 12 on our team.
And one alternate.
And, if we went up and the first three batters got out, of course, we was out. We had to play the field. But if they didn't get three outs on us, we batted all the way through to the very last batter on our team.
And I think, was there a limit on the number of runs you could score each inning? Seemed like I heard someone say something.
In all good, it was 10 runs.
Okay,
if you scored 10 runs, you
went back on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you ran into another big change, didn't you, when you got to go to the next round?
Absolutely. We made it, we wound up winning the All-Good tournament, which, you know, was absolutely awesome. Kids was excited, families was excited, the whole deal. Then we went on to Lewisburg, Tennessee for the state tournament. And down there, it's coach's pitch.
And actual coach's pitch or the coach or the machine?
Coach pitch. Okay. So got down there, and I think down there you can score 8 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up against Marshall County the first game, and we come up a little short in that game, 10-7. Marshall County had a great little team and just got out on us, and it was hard to get back with them. And then we played, I think,
South Williamson,
and, you know, pretty big school. They got us the second game we played. I can't remember the score. Got us by 3 or 4 runs, and then we wind up playing for field place Sunday.
Against Donaldson,
and we wind up winning that game 30-32. So not much defense in that game.
Yeah. But, you know, any time you go to a meet like that, it's great to come home winning that last game.
For sure.
I mean, that's something to build on.
Well, this was the first time that T-balls ever went to the state tournament.
Right, I know. And we've had some good T-ball mm-hmm. players to come through here.
Yeah.
But I know you guys are be commended on the job of putting these guys together and making that big change. I mean, you know, that's very traumatic for kids that age, where they're used to having the ball, sit there and look at it and get to hit it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to say this. There wasn't one player on our team when we told them we was going to have to start pitching to them. Every single kid was ready to go. They didn't say, oh, I can't do it. They was ready to go.
That's a sign of your good athletes that have a good attitude about themselves, a good attitude about the game.
Absolutely.
That, you know, hey, whatever's dealt to us, hey, we can handle it.
Yep.
And it sounds like those guys did a pretty good job. And, of course, you know, if this will follow them probably for all through their careers here.
Yeah.
As junior high players and as, of course, playing in the leagues here and around.
Yeah.
That, hey, you know, we did this. We were the first to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and no matter what happens after the first, you're always the first, aren't you?
Absolutely. That don't change, does it?
No, it doesn't.
That's right.
You're always the first to make it that far.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a little short break and get in a few words from our sponsors. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the baseball and what we're kind of looking forward and talk about our local league a little bit. And then I'm going to let Alan talk about the marble tournament a little bit, which he was up in New Jersey, I think, overseeing that. I think maybe we brought back did we bring back any hardware?
Yeah, my little girl, she wound up getting to the semifinals and brought back a pretty big trophy.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we get back. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a second.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes.
Oh my, I read that wrong.
They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test. Because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
All right, we're ready. We're back here with Alan Hayes and Libby, and we were talking about the baseball a little bit, and it's not hardly over with yet, is it?
No, we're still going to play Tuesday night here against Burksville. We're going to set 6 o'clock below the fairground.
I think, did you guys scrimmage in before you went down? I think I heard,
yeah,
heard that
we
on
did.
The great,
yep,
man, and kind of give you a little heads up of what to expect down there. Well, then are you going to fold it, or are you going to keep trying to do a little something through the rest of the summer? You know yet, or?
I think we're going to keep on with these kids we got, this group of kids, and see where that leads, maybe get in another tournament or two, and try to ride it on out, you know. And I'd also like to say another thing, Thomas, in all good and in the state tournament, our little defense just played awesome, you know. It takes defense to win ball games, you know that. You've been
right.
A coach, and our defense was second to none, stepped up, played with anybody who wanted to hit the ball, you know, and done really great.
So none of those guys taking their glove and turning their head, huh?
Nope. Sure wouldn't.
But, okay, so we'll be, you know, get us, if you get another tournament, let us know. Let me know here, and we'll
but
let
we are going to have a Team Evan tournament down here. We don't have a date yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be a benefit tournament,
okay,
for
now,
him.
When is the benefit for that, since you brought that up?
The cakewalk and auction is going to be 23rd of September, and then we're still trying to do a tournament down here with baseball. so everyone could come down here.
Okay, and for the folks that don't know, Evan is fighting cancer right now and
yep.
winning the battle slowly but surely.
He put his head down and hit it straight at it, you know, Thomas, he sure has. So.
Okay, now, the marble tournament.
Yeah.
Tell us about that a little bit. That's kind of a tradition with Salina and Clay County now, isn't it?
It is. I'm sure most people know about the roly hoe around here. Maybe your grandfather, brother, dad played marbles back in the day.
Well, I had two brothers that were great.
Absolutely.
I think they even beat the master more than once. And they even let me play with them every once in a while so I could win a game.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, whatever it takes. That's what we're doing.
They took me in and let me win a game of marbles every once in a while.
Absolutely.
But this big tournament, it's not a roly hole tournament, is it?
No, it's not. It's called Ringer. Coach Brian Cherry tries to get a few kids together every year, and we go to New Jersey. That's where the National Marble Championship's held. It's been going on 95 years, and what it is, you get a 10-foot circle, 13 marbles in the middle, and you got two competitors playing against each other, and the first one knocks out seven marbles wins. And it's a great game for children to take up. My kids love it, and my little girl and little boy went this year. My little boy, I think he got maybe 19th place, but my little girl, she wound up getting 8th and got to play in the semifinals. That's as far as she's got since she's been playing, and it's our third year going. And also Bridget Cherry, Brian's little girl, she done awesome. I think she got 9th place. She's right there on the border. If you get top 8, you get to play in the semifinals, you know, and it was just a great experience.
And I know we've had a few champions here in Clay County, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
Over the years.
Two or three that we've had.
I was trying to think of the young lady that won it off P. Ridge. I can't think of her name now.
If you hadn't asked me, Thomas, I don't know what to think of.
And I know there have been a few winners.
Yeah.
Okay, now, of course, we called that Keep, didn't we, back years ago,
where we
draw the big circle down at the old grade school and put a bunch of marbles in the middle. And I don't know, sometimes we'd have 4, 5, 6 people playing, and the marbles you knocked out, you got a key.
Got to keep them. That's awesome. Yeah.
I was always jealous of those guys that went home with a whole sack full every night.
Pocket full
of marbles. You knew the champions when they walked down the hall.
You could
hear them marbles rattling going down the hall.
Absolutely.
And also the roly hole thing. I think at the Standing Stone Roly Hole Tournament, I think it took place back. Or is it yet to come?
It's yet to come.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it'll be in November. I might be wrong about that. I don't really know. I've been so concentrating on T-ball and Ringer with my other two. I've sort of put that on the back burner. I will be playing in that this year. Played the last couple of years. But I'd also like to, before we go on, I'd like to thank Coach James Baxter and Sam Daniels as far as the T-ball goes. We help, me and Libby do, James. And without James and Sam, we couldn't have been where we went this year, you know. So I'd just like to say thanks to them guys.
I know it's hard work, and it requires a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I know anything you do that way, the biggest reward is the smiles on the face of those little guys when they come off the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing that compares to that.
Nope.
And if you've got a group of kids, and I know probably this group of kids, you know, they don't come off the field happy if they're not in first place, but they don't come off the field crying, do they?
That's right.
They come off the field looking forward to getting a hold of these guys again.
Yep, the next game.
And that's something that, you know, athletics here in this whole area, it seems like, you know, we're on an upturn, looks like. I think our new football coach has got a lot of interest stirred up in football for this fall, and I think right now they're playing in a passing league, I think, here this summer, and I know he's posting a lot of stuff on Facebook, keeping everybody up with what's going on. And I know he'd like to see all of the spectators, anyone wants to, come out to practice when they start and come watch practice and encourage these young men. And I know that he has some guys that haven't played football before that should have been but haven't, and they're back out. So things are really looking up, and this bunch of young guys here looks like, you know, it's not going to ever end, I don't believe.
Hey, we hope not, Thomas. And to get back on what you were saying there, it takes everybody. It takes the parents, because if the kid, you know, can't get to practice and the parent would, you know, not wanting to take them to practice, got something better to do, then you miss that kid from practice. The parents, coaches, the kids, it's a group effort. You know, like you say in the football, you know, the coach can't do it by himself. If the parents are not there involved in it and the kids' heads in it, then it's darn near impossible to do great things, you know.
But, you know, one of the secrets of that is when those parents' children are through, that those parents can maintain that same enthusiasm for the next group that comes. That's where we really are able to sustain our athletics.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a lot of folks that are just all energetic as long as their children are playing.
Yeah.
But people like, I know like Alan here and some of those guys, that they're going to continue to be energetic and involved in,
yeah,
in athletics, whether their children are in it or not.
Yeah.
Because even though their children are playing on Tuesday night, that they will find a place to go on Thursday night to help out.
For sure.
And that's what it takes here as a community,
yeah,
to keep an athletic, well, anything going, no matter,
yeah,
what it is, be it a church group, athletic group, school group, or whatever. We can't just be interested in it when we have a direct involvement.
That's right,
it.
Thomas. That's right. You said it.
Okay. Now, looking forward to anything coming up. You guys got anything else coming up?
We do know Tuesday night Burkesville will be coming here.
Down at the...
At 6 o'clock. We're still looking into more tournaments to take them to.
Try to do for Evan. And for those of you who don't know, he's my son. We're going to try to do a co-ed softball and let the kids coach the parents in the co-ed softball. And I see you're laughing now. We think it'll be a bunch of fun, you know.
Do they get to pick out the starting lineup and everything?
They probably will, Tyler. They probably will.
That should be fun to do. Okay, I think we're winding down for the day here in Salina, and Libby's got something else she needs to tell us.
I forgot two kids on
all
our
right
team, and I know one is listening to me right now. So Brody Threet and Ella Donaldson.
All right. There we go. There we go. So that they get to by themselves. See, they get special treatment.
Yeah, don't
they?
Absolutely.
Okay, now we've drawn out our winner for the birthday cake today, and that is Elise Langford. Elise, the procedure on that is you need to go by the Clay County Chamber and pick up a certificate there and take that certificate over to the Dairy Queen, and they'll give you one of those delicious birthday cakes. And I think we're just about ready to shut the barn door and put we got a new business in town opening, haven't we? Tiny Burger.
Yes.
Tiny Bird.
Up across from Charlie Goat's place.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're ready to open up. And look like they're still working down here on the bakery.
Yeah.
It's not ready to open yet, but the Tiny Burger, I think, is going to be maybe going this weekend.
Yeah.
So come out and get you a Tiny Burger. So, but with that said, I guess it's about time we closed her down, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here at the same time next week here on your radio dial, which is 101.5 WVFB FM Kicks Country. And once again, Clay County, good day.
Go Bulldogs.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina. Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.